Well, I tell you what, I'm going to keep preaching from the floor until our crowd gets better. That'll motivate you, won't it? I may start preaching in the middle of the aisle. Thank you, Carl. Well, God's good. Amen?
Is that good?
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's the beginning of a new year. You know, I think about all these things going through my mind. I know that's one reason I'm meeting with the deacons today, just to want to talk about the future of our church and ideas that I might have. And our theme, you know, our big theme verse, I think we're going to do a little bit more with that this year. We have a thing, you know, you can see it in your bulletin, ID. You know, my ID is Christ is going to increase and I'm going to decrease. I mean, that's, if I lived by that every day, it certainly would make a difference in my life, and it would make a difference in your life. Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. And then our nominating event, trying to enlist people to work in the church. And folks, I can't tell you, people experience burnout, and everybody's busy. And part of that's our own fault. The world, I mentioned in my prayer, the world has said this is how you're supposed to live. And we do it. And some of it's not even biblical. And then we make the world stuff the priority. And we jettison the church. You know, we say, well, man, we can't do that unless we don't go to church on Wednesday night. Well, we won't go to church on Wednesday night. I mean, here's... I'm not saying you've done that on purpose, but this is the stuff that happens. And so we need volunteer, we need workers. And so what happens is you have 8, 10, 12, 20% of what they say statistically in Baptist life, 20% of the people do 90% of the work. And it shouldn't be that way. We all should be servants in the body. And there's ministries that, you know, there's ministries we could be involved in. We have been involved in the past, but we don't have the workers, the volunteers to do it. And maybe there are some ministries we need to start, but you need to be the one to help do it. You don't know. So that display out there is, it can't make you want to work for Jesus. It can't make you love the church, but it is a reminder that there are a lot of people that have signed up to do God's work. Now, honestly, let me give you, for instance, an insurance team. We have an insurance team. We need the counsel of people who've been in the insurance business or can at least do research. And it's not my responsibility. It's not your responsibility. So we have an insurance team. Well, they may only have to meet once every 2 years. It's according to whatever's going on. But we have a van ministry team. And right now, it's just maintaining the vans. But so there are teams that don't do, and I have to admit, they don't overwhelm you with tasks, but there are some ministry teams that function a lot. There's helping positions. You may not teach. You know, a lot of people are scared to teach, but they don't mind being a helper. There are many situations where you can be a helper. Right now, as we're in here, and this has been a struggle. I was a minister of education in churches before. I've pastored and been a minister of education, been a minister of youth. I've kind of done it all except music. And having extended teaching workers. Anytime you see ETC, think that when we're in here, there's a group of people over there in that preschool building. And they have volunteered, many of you do that, their time. And every Sunday, somebody's over there watching preschool children. And let's just say, I'm going to make it up, I didn't look at the list. Let's say it takes 5 volunteers. Besides children's church, it takes 5 volunteers. Okay? 5 volunteers every Sunday. And wonder if only 25 people have signed up. Well, then you got to rotate every 5 or 6 weeks. So wonder if 50 people signed up and you did it once every 10 weeks. So again, that may not be your cup of tea, you know, but my point is, God's called us to serve, and listen, when we get to heaven, serving the church where you take care of a little child and sing Jesus' love, when we have material and you're singing songs and teaching about Jesus, when you meet the Lord Jesus, there are rewards for doing that in the Spirit of Christ, right? And you're doing it to help the church, so we can sit in here and not have to have a baby in our lap unless we want to have a baby in our lap, right? So it just helps. So it's ETC. There's just many others that you can be involved in. So I pray that this year will be a significant year in your spiritual life, as well as in the church life. I was looking for a little sheet of paper. I must have lost it, but I do remember some of the statistics. I want you to think about this. This is close, so if you know it to be a little bit different, don't chide me publicly. But if I had 15 pounds of corn seed, and I was going to plant some corn, and when that corn matters, because we still have corn day here, right? We still get corn from Mr. Maddox's property. We may not do it anymore, but I know we did this year, and have corn day where they give us corn and we pick two or three truckloads, and after morning worship you can pick up corn. So let's say I had 15 pounds of seed to plant, and if I remember correctly, 15 pounds of seed would produce 5,000 pounds of corn, right? Now think about that. That's sowing and reaping. That's Genesis 1. He made fruitful seed-bearing trees. That means it had the fruit, it had the vegetable, but inside that vegetable or fruit, it had seeds that would reproduce it, right? So 15 pounds would produce about 5,000 pounds of corn, and that's not counting the seed it would produce that you could use again to plant more corn, most corn. Now, if that's true physically, and that's part of God's sovereign plan in the physical world, He has established a rule for sowing and reaping. It's undeniable, right? There's the rule of sowing and reaping. Even though I'm 65, I'm not a farmer, I don't know a whole lot about horticulture, I know that there's a law that God has established of sowing and reaping. Amen? Okay. But besides there being a physical law of sowing and reaping, guess what the Bible says? There is a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Jesus, or the Bible, Paul's going to tell us, your Bible's open to Galatians chapter 6. We've been looking at the book of Galatians for several weeks now, and I'm going to go back to Galatians chapter 6. We've been looking at these A's, and I'm going to just peruse through, kind of surveying all the things about the marks. I bear in my body the marks of Christ, the stigmata, so I've used that as a kickoff. And when we read the end of chapter 6, I bear in my body, verse 17, the marks of Jesus. And so we've been talking about not the physical marks, the spiritual marks of Jesus. And so Paul had mentioned several throughout the book of Galatians that mark us off. Just things that not only you are as a believer, but we are as a church. There's marks of Christ, that we belong to Christ. There's certain marks. And one of those he mentions in chapter 6, two of them really, he mentions one, is our that we're accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was, my great-grandfather was a land tycoon in Cedar Bluff, Alabama. I don't know if you know where Cedar Bluff is. It's across the border from Rome, Georgia. Is it Weiss Lake? There's a lake up there. And reading, I got a lot of stuff about him buying. He bought a lot of land, sold a lot of land. Well, I have in my hand here a check from 1917. Okay? I was trying to find if this bank still existed, and it's been bought out like six times, so I couldn't track. The Exchange National Bank. He bought a piece of property for $11,000 in January of 19. It might be, I can't read, it's either 17 or 19, 1917 or 1919. He paid $11,000. If that money, $11,000, and we did 1919, so she did it according to 1919. Based on inflation, just inflation since 1919, that would be worth $326,000 just based on inflation. $326,000. Really, it's $327,000. It's $948. But that's money spent that would have increased in value all these years by doing absolutely nothing. The Bible says that when we do God's kingdom, He Himself rewards us. We reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap after we sow. That's one of our problems. We don't want to wait. We reap after we sow, but we also reap what we sow. Right? So we are reaping and sowing. And I think about, you don't know this, but I think about when we started, that we're down to $12,000. Our debt's $12,000. And if you don't give another penny, we'll pay it off in three, but you're not going to do that. But if you don't give another penny out of the budget, we'll have it paid off in March. Okay? So we're down to $12,000. I think about, we have, there's people in this building that have given money every month. They give their tithes, I give my tithes and offerings. So you help make the payment for 21 years or however long you've been here. Out of our budget comes a payment. It's done that for 21 years. But there are people in this room for 21 years. One or two of them joined about 6 years in. So let's say for 15 years. For 15 years, I know for a fact, have given over and above every month towards the building debt. And we're down to $12,000 because of people like that. Now, they're going to have a reward. God blesses them now. But the reward that He's going to give, He says is the percentage Christ gives is 15, and I'm not saying it's about numbers, is if you translate it in our economy, it's 15,000% return. 15,000% return on your investment. I don't think you can beat that. I'm thinking about recently when we started, it was $220,000 when we started this little campaign. You know, we want to get rid of it. It's been 2 years, a little over 2 years. And somebody immediately gave $10,000. I can remember. I mean, they didn't come tell me. They told me later. And so over the time, that $10,000 residually has spiritually paid off, but also physically paid off. Folks, it's what we're going to invest in. Look what he says. So we are accountable. I'm in Galatians chapter 6. By the way, I got tons of checks from the 1900s. And if you're in Galatians 6, then you don't have to turn. But this is another little document he has, and he's documenting interest. Okay? And here's some figures. $8.70. This is interest that he's paying. $8.73, $17, $1.31, $2.06. That was in 1914, 15, and 16. But you know, that sounds insignificant. But in 1914, 15, that was a lot of money. I'm assuming. So he was, I think about that, how long ago that was, right here in print. But he was making investments in his note. Interesting. We're making investments in the kingdom, reaping and sowing. It's like Romans 8 says, there's a law of sin and death. You can't get away from it. It's a law. It's a law created in God's creation. Genesis 1. Sin leads to death. And there's another law. There's life in Christ. Here's another law. You reap what you sow. Can't get away from it. That's why, for instance, if you sow to the flesh, now I'm going way back. Kevin sent me a picture of myself back when I was 18, 19. I was up in Chattanooga at a Bible camp. I thought I was right about that. One of my buddies, Mark Morrison. Mark should have been a preacher. He's a better preacher than me back then. He probably is now, So I like that picture because it made me look like I'm 6'5", doesn't it? Because Mark's a short fella. And at 19, you're not slumping over. Anyway, so he sent me a picture, and I was thinking about all the memories of being 18, or I didn't recognize myself. But I'm thinking about spiritually, I was thinking about Jonathan Edwards, making these resolutions that you would recognize the change in your own life. Now think about that. You will recognize the change in your own life based on your commitment to Scripture and prayer. Other people will notice your growth, but you will notice your growth and maturity. That picture's significant because back then I wasn't this big, but I was a big boy, and I got hurt and stuff and lost a bunch of weight. And so I was unrecognizable to a lot of people who would see me in a picture like that. Also, it was hard to recognize because I had hair, right? Yeah, yeah. And you could see my stomach. I mean, you could see I had a weight. So anyway, but folks, it's He wants us to take God's word, feed off God's word, the fellowship of the church, serve in the body. If we'll do the basic things that the Bible says do, it'll change our lives. And I know you're thinking, you can say this to yourself, and part of it's true. You'll say, well, he's here, talking about me. Robbie and Ryan and Bryce are here because they're paid to be here. Well, it's much more than that, and I hope you believe it is more than that. But I tell Diane that all the time. I think of it, it's kind of scary, of being a church member. One day this may happen. Being a church member but not being the preacher. That's kind of scary. Because this is all I've known, being a staff member or a preacher for 40-some-odd years. But I do it because I'm called to do it, and you're called. I mean, the Bible clearly says you've been gifted. You look at the Bible, what the Bible says about sowing and reaping. You need to be sowing because God has gifted you to do certain things. It's just a fact. You'd have to tell me Scripture's not true. The Bible says if you're saved, you have at least a gift, probably more than one, but a gift, and it could be several different tastes of a gift, that you're to use, and it says, for the building up, the oikodomeo, house building. Sometimes we call it edification. You help build the house of God. You're not here for you. You're here for Christ, who's head of the church. This is his body, and you need to be serving. It's just what, and God will enrich you because you're sowing to the Spirit, right? It's just how it works. But if you walk in the flesh and live in the flesh and play with the world and don't attend spiritual things, don't expect to be some spiritual champion. It's not going to happen. Because there's sowing and there's reaping. They're spiritual laws. That was a big introduction, wasn't it? So I'm in chapter 6, verse 1. And by the way, it starts out, if you're using the A's, if you write down my outline, number one is admonish in chapter 1. He does tell us to admonish and exhort and edify. So, brothers, if anyone is called in a transgression, sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Admonish one another. Bear one another's burdens. Now that word burden, you heard me say this a couple weeks ago. We bear one another's burdens when it's a crushing weight. I mean, it's a load beyond what an individual should carry. Like if there's a death in the family, a financial crisis. I mean, there are many examples of this. Is just something that bearing it alone would be a burden for our fellow believer to bear it, or a fellow sister to bear it. And so we bear their burdens. We want to bear their burdens. And we should always be ready to bear one another's burdens. But we don't want to pacify people. And that's what the next statement talks about. So when you're even in counseling, this one thing you, I told you all that. You know, you go to counseling, trained as a counselor and all that stuff. And so there's a lot of people that have a problem because look what it says. So you bear one another's burden. It's a crushing weight, you know, big time crisis. It says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, not in what his neighbor has done. For each will have to bear his own load. Okay, so you bear one another's burdens. That's the big stuff. But then you're responsible for bearing your own load. Well, let me ask you a question. And I know this is talking about your spiritual disciplines. We just all have our own burdens. And a lot of us as parents, we sometimes take too much of it off our kids. We don't give them enough of them or whatever. We all do that. But in the church, what load are you bearing? I mean, just think about the body. We're the body of Christ and bear your load. I mean, what load are you bearing? I mean, for each one will have to bear his own load. That's your daily, a military, what the provisions a soldier would carry every day. There's a word used in the Greek text, the Roman world. So every day, your daily burdens. So we carry our own burdens, but then these big burdens, we share one another's burdens. So we're admonishing one another. But then he picks up in verse 16, he said, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, Paul doesn't talk a lot about this here. This is talking about like me and you know, your leaders and teachers. He does this elsewhere. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So he's talking about bearing burdens, okay, big burdens, and then we bear our own burdens. Then he's talking about supporting the work of the church, teaching God's. So teaching God's word should be a big deal. Whatever church you're going to, teaching God's word and singing God's word and promoting God's word and serving God, this is a big deal. So then he gets into, hey, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So it's been about admonishing, bearing our own load, and loving God's word. If you really want to look at what he's been talking about. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that shall he also reap. Now going back to when this picture of me that Kevin sent me yesterday for me to look at and remind me that I've gained 100 pounds. Thank you so much for doing that, Kevin. I appreciate that. Bless my heart. Tell you something else not to do. Mark this down. Don't go for your annual physical after Christmas. He didn't work me in until the 30th. I've been depressed ever since. But when I see that picture, you know, I'd been saved a year or two when that picture. But there's things I did before I got saved. That the moment I got saved, there's certain reaping I still was going to do. Because I'd sown to the flesh. Does that make sense? Okay. You reap what you sow. Now, I smoked dope. I know it's hard believing. Got saved when I was 16, so that tells you how young I was when I started smoking. And that was a long time ago. Well, you know, there's certain things God took away from me. I didn't have to worry about it. I never desired dope or anything like that. I did have a bad mouth, too. And he took most of that away. But as a teenager, you know, I especially on football field or other things, you would have to watch yourself, and it's a discipline. So, but you reap what you sow. So if you've sown to the flesh, and even now, reaping and sowing, you get out there and sow to the flesh. You know, you're not going to come in on a Sunday morning singing joy to the Lord, you know, that kind of thing. You're not going to want to be here every Sunday. You're going to find every reason not to be here because God's Word's going to confront you. I can remember when I would be struggling with decisions, and I'm not saying you're doing this because we're pretty close, but at my home church, you could tell where I was spiritually by where I sat in the church. Now, I'm a young guy. I mean, I was 18, 19, 16, 17, 18, 19, before I went off to school, you know. But if I was really struggling and I wasn't living like I should, I'd sit out in the foyer. No kidding. It's like God couldn't get me out there, which was a lie. You knew He could. Because you reap what you sow. It's, you know, and this is a law. Look what He says. So we're accountable. If you just look at an outline, let each one, verse 4, so there's a personal duty, let each one. Then he says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who's taught. Again, it's a personal responsibility. We all have this duty. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Here's God's design. So you have duty, you have design. For whatever the one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This is God's design. He says, here's your duty. Each one, you have a responsibility, and here is my design. No matter what, from here on out, you're going to reap what you sow. And it shouldn't surprise you if you're attending church. Now think about it. If you're attending church or Bible study, you need to be doing both, and that's we're going to promote that this year. We want everybody to be committed to Bible study, if you can. Some of you can't, and you're working, and you can't come. But if you're gonna, you need to be committed to the Bible study. I mean, that needs to be one of the commitments that you have as a Christian. You want to study God's Word, and then all of a sudden, if you don't, here's what happens: people show up at church once a month. I mean, God bless your heart. I'm glad you're coming once a month. So you show up for church, worship, and I'm glad you're here. It hurts my feelings when people come to Sunday school and leave. I used to stand there and watch people, and it'd make me mad. So I quit doing that. I hadn't done that in 20 years. But I did do it before, and it made me mad, so I had to stop doing it because people come to Sunday school and leave. And it kind of hurt my feelings. It'd hurt your feelings too, right? So anyway, but people come once a month, 1 hour. Let's just say they come here. And if you ask them, are you active at a church? They say, oh yeah, I'm active at Redland Baptist Church. Man, I'm committed up there. And they come 1 hour a week. A month. 1 hour a month, let's say. 1 hour a month. Now, is that any kind of nutrition spiritually? No, it can't be. So so I'm not saying they lose their salvation. I'm not accusing. If that may be you. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you're reaping what you're sowing. You're not going to grow. It's just so the world has confronted you all those other hours, 168, however long it is, has confronted you with worldliness. I mean, there are places of protection. And you think you're going to grow. Well, so God has designed you reap what you sow. So we need to be sowing to the Spirit, right? That's our whole duty, if we're going to get the plan, is to sow to the Spirit. And look how he finishes this in verse 9. He says, so, now think about it. So here's our accountability, okay? We have a duty, okay? Then we have God's design, and then we have our desire. Look what it says. And let us not grow weary of doing good. It didn't say everything's good, okay? Doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. And folks, it's very hard in the world. My old nature, circumstances, the world, all of that is opposed to me sowing in the Spirit. It's opposed to it. So I myself, along with you, you have to do battle that you will do things in the Spirit, that you will study God's Word, you will serve the church, you will sacrificially give, you will make a commitment to be a part of a structure in the church. Whatever it would be, you're going to make it. Do not give up. It's what he says. He says, don't grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not give up. Now, interesting enough, you can do your word study for yourself, those of you who know about Blue Letter Bible. If you take that phrase, it's describing, let's go hunting. Let's take this phrase, you will reap if you do not give up. This phrase, you will reap if you don't give up. The word do not give up is a word in the hunting world of Rome, okay, or competition of archery. And do not give up was a term used, that word, Greek, one Greek word, was used that if you quit, if you were, let's say you're in a competition of bow shooting the arrows, that word was to unloosen the string on your bow. It meant you gave up. So from a spiritual standpoint, now spirit, doesn't mean just do it and God's going to bless you. We just can't do it, but spiritually we keep what? We're going to think we're never going to get there, but we just keep shooting in the Spirit. You with me? We walk in the Spirit. He says this in chapter 5. We will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You just keep on doing it in the Spirit. You keep on shooting those arrows. And he says, you will reap if you faint not. You just don't give up. Then look what he says. So then, as we have opportunity, where's this going to show up? This life that he said, let us do good to everyone, but especially to those that are of the household of God. Folks, you don't maybe have, but the world has, and a lot of Christians have a poor biblical understanding of the church. If the church is the bride of Christ, and it is, and even Jesus says this in the Revelation, Paul says it a couple of times, the bride of Christ, but yet the book of Revelation says it is, we're the bride. Don't you want to love the bride of Christ? Don't you want to serve the bride? Don't you want to be a part of a pure bride of Christ? So, and this is where, this is the family. This is the household. When you want to run to somebody, when you want to run to people for help, and you need a partner, you need a friend, you can run to your neighbor. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you where you should be able to run. To those that help carry your burdens. This is it. And this is where you know, when you read the Bible about people getting saved, it's in the context of here, the church. Either the church is out there preaching the gospel, or they come to church and hear the gospel, or the church is doing something, they hear the gospel and get saved. It's about the church. This is, you know, how do you get to heaven? Well, I can tell you can get there from right here, right? Right here. You can learn how to get to heaven from right here. Well, you can get it from anywhere else, but we got to tell the gospel. Folks, church life is so much more serious than you and I sometimes take into account. Why does Paul say to the Colossians, when Christ, who is your life, appears? Colossians 3, when Christ, who is your life, appears. Then he's talking about we'll be physically like him. But right now, Paul's saying we should be like him. He is our life. And the church is the body of Christ. We want to be a part of the, not a part, but a part of the body of Christ. Well, we're out of time, so I didn't even go over the A's. Number one, we did make it to one, accountable and then admonishing one another. But let me take you to one. Let's go to chapter 2 real quick. I got 5 or 6 minutes. Look at Galatians 2. And I want to look at verse 18. You know, we had talked about acknowledging Christ's Lordship. That was one of the A's. I can read them out to you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. We talked about chapter 5. And then there's a verse in chapter 3 too. The authority of Scripture, that's in chapter 1. Any other gospel, let them be accursed. And we talk about people that are accursed, they don't believe the truth of the gospel. They're accursed, the Bible says. Accursed, that's condemnation, that's damnation. If you don't believe the Word of God and the gospel is how you get saved. But I want to show you this little truth here, and this is a verse we read several weeks ago. And I want to finish, I'm going to finish Galatians, this is going to be it. So I have to look at this verse one last time. Look at verse 18. Paul says, for if I rebuild what I tore down, talking about legalism, right? The Jews were promoting Jesus plus living like a Jew, which the very people telling the Galatians, which primarily are Gentiles, they're in Turkey. All these churches are up near in Turkey. They're mostly Gentiles. And so these Jews are telling the Gentiles, you can be saved and love Jesus, but if you're not a Jew by practice, you can't keep your salvation. And what Paul's argument is, even they who believe the law don't even live according to the law. It's impossible to obey the law because you're a sinner. You're a lawbreaker. If you violate one, the Bible says you violated them all. You're guilty of all of it. Comes in a package. So he says, For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. We're saying, if I go back, what kept me in bondage, and now I've come out of bondage and got saved, but then I'm going to go back to what kept me in bondage, it don't even make sense. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. So my righteousness is not going to come by the law. My righteousness is going to come by the imputed righteousness of Christ. I'm a lawbreaker. Jesus wasn't. And so my life is hidden in Christ, right? And so now he's saying, when you come by faith, the gospel is when we trust Christ. He is our righteousness. He died for our sins. All those things, we believe those things. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. And then here it is. I want you to notice three things. I have been crucified with Christ. Folks, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's a new identity. Now, in my world, I call that an imputed identity. That in God's imputed means to place inside of it. He gave it to me. Imputed identity. That means in God's salvation, part of the gospel is that when you surrendered and believed in Christ unto salvation, God gave you not only Christ's Spirit, but God gave you the life of Christ, the history. He imputed. So now you have Christ. You know, what else do you want? You have Christ. I'm in Christ, right? And Christ is in me. So the argument is, what else do you want? Christ. So we have a new imputed identity. It's been given to us by grace. He says, but it's emphatic, and you know it's true. He didn't make a supposition about this life. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I've been crucified with Him, but I'm alive. But it's not me that's alive. It's Christ that's in me that's alive. Because you and I know the wages of sin is death, and so the old man was dead in sin. You know, you didn't have... That's some people think about free will. Spiritually speaking, from a salvation standpoint, there's not a free will. You're dead in sin. Now, there is free will outside the realm of spiritual life, but you're dead in sin. You're not even alive. You don't... Until God quickens you to believe, you're dead. And so... But when you believed Christ, His life implanted in you... So you have an imputed identity. I am in Christ. And folks, it's irrevocable. It's imputed, but it's irrevocable. Right? Doesn't it say the calling, the gifts, Romans 3, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So we're here today thinking about another year to serve Jesus, 2026. Christ has been, His whole history has been imputed to me, so I have a new identity. And then this identity, it's irrevocable. I am in Christ. And then I prove that He is indwelling me, because He says, and the life that I now live, you have something to do with it. The life that I now live. Then He says, I live by faith in the Son of God. But you're living it. So now there's an indwelling testimony. So it's irrevocable. That's what it says. It says it's imputed, but there's an indwelling. So now, the life that I now live. You remember Jesus said, here's an interesting thing, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with mind, heart, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, this sums up the whole law, Jesus said. But in John 14, he says, a new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. He's already said, confirm those two statements. The greatest is this. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul. Love your neighbor yourself. It's graceful. Then he says, a new commandment I give you. He says, love one another. So we don't take this as far as it needs to go. Okay? They'll know you are Christians by your love, by your love. You will know you are Christians by you know the song. But we miss a part of that. This is what Jesus says. Love one another. A new commandment I give. Love one another. What's the rest of it? As I have loved you. I'll die for you. That's how much I love. That's what he said. Sacrificial love. You abandon. Folks, when you come to Christ and you're in love with Christ, let me tell you what happens. You abandon self. You abandon self because Christ is Lord. Let's pray.